This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
No, I'm hearing what's going out to the people. I'm hearing that that nice delay we've got.
Okay, so, but you're hearing everything on delay is what you're saying. Like in your ears is what I'm, you're not hearing anything. Are you hearing me talk at all? You are.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's see. I'm going to, do you have the reminder to tell everybody, tell the people about the slam dunk in Vegas? So what we need is, okay, I'm going to have to walk George through it in real time. Okay, on the...
I do not know.
Okay. All right, so everybody hang with us here. We're going to get through the highlights. I have to go to the other side real quickly to fix this board settings for George. So 1 second.
I have no idea what's going on.
Does it sound right now?
Okay, there we go. I have no idea what, one, what had happened before I got in here, and two, what my good friend Jeffrey just did for me. I don't know what just happened there.
So, what happened
who
is...
hit something?
So, that's going to be hand up on me. When we were trying to figure out the board settings this morning, I put it into the preview that would tell us what goes through the air. That's why you were hearing everything on delay.
Yes, okay.
Correct. So you, instead of just hearing what was coming through the speakers,
gotcha.
It was on delay. So hand up. That's on me. You know, I call
never done that before. I've never done that.
Well, that's
probably
why,
for a reason.
That's why it's on me. That's one of those ones where I know what I'm doing, but I don't. That's the ADHD in me. Like I knew what I was doing, but at the same time, I didn't. I don't know if I communicated it through you, whatnot. But nonetheless, we're back. We're rolling, baby.
There we go.
The Grizzlies win last night. 119-112, in front of a national television audience, in front of Kevin Durant and his 30,000 and now 4 points. We'll get into all of that momentarily. Also, though, I want to remind everyone again, we got the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest going on right now. An absolutely awesome opportunity. If you want to listen through the Odyssey app, all you got to do is download the Odyssey app, free to listen, log in, listen to 92.9 for at least 1 hour each day, and then you will be entered to win the Slam Dunk in Las Vegas. 5-night stay at the Circa in Las Vegas for you and 3 friends, including round-trip airfare. Also, spending cash for you and your 3 friends, $5,000 each. So $20,000 spending cash. It's the ultimate viewing experience during the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Again, all you got to do is log into the Odyssey app, listen for 1 hour each day to be entered into the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. John Martin's going to join us during segment number two. We'll talk some college basketball with John, get his thoughts on the Grizzlies and more. Tigers also tonight head to South Florida. So the Tigers will be on the road, an empty FedEx Forum for this weekend. The Tigers will be on the road for Wichita State. I beg your pardon, it's tomorrow night. Tomorrow night will be South Florida. Then Sunday will be Wichita State. I got to get us back. I feel like the Tigers now, I feel like I'm back in college where the WCC used to always play on Thursdays and Sundays, and now I feel like I'm now officially with the Tigers on that schedule. So get his thoughts on those things. Chris Harrington going to join us like he does each and every day at 10 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from the Grizzlies. If he saw anything different that he has made note of, we'll discuss that with him. Then Sam Hardiman going to join us. We'll get through the civic issues and topics with him. We'll also find out whether or not he is a Patriots fan that believes that what happened to the Chiefs on Sunday has even further legitimized the New England Patriots. So we'll discuss some of that as well as a few civic issues with him. We'll then tell you what's coming up next. We'll get out of here. But fun night last night for those of us that stayed up. It got a little squirrely, George, at one point. I was thinking, it was one of those weird games. Cobb and I were texting during the game, and it was one of those games where even though the Grizzlies were up big in the second quarter, I just kind of had this weird feeling where they were kind of kicking it around a little bit. The shots weren't falling quite like they did in the first quarter. I was like, man, this feels like one of those games you're going to look up in the fourth quarter. They're going to be losing, and then you're going to think, like, how did this happen? It felt like it was trending that way. But then the Grizzlies in the final 4 minutes really, really stepped on the throat of the Suns, and they knocked them off 119-112. Let's get into some highlights. Yeah, after a tough Saturday night, Jalen Wells, who's really not had the hottest shooting streak really the last couple of weeks, he saw a couple of early ones go in.
Bane on a cut. His ball goes through his hands on a pass from Morant, but it squirts right to Jalen Wells. Bobo giving him the three. Wells takes it. Rings it up, puts three on the board. As Jalen Wells knocks down the three, it rattled in like a pinball, and we're tied at five. Booker, a straightaway three is going to be too strong. Long rebound to the foul line for Bane. Bane drops it off for Morant. Morant at the top of the arc. Kicks to a wide open Jalen Wells. Rhythm right wing three, ring it up. Put three on the board. Second triple for Jalen Wells. He's got eight to start things off. 12-9, Grizzlies by three.
Somebody better cover Jalen Wells. You leave him wide open, he can knock down those three-pointers for sure.
Another big story during the first quarter was the play of Santi Aldama. More importantly, Taylor Jenkins mentioned during his in-between quarter interview, the offense that he gave them really felt like propelled them to the lead that they needed to basically maintain throughout the first half. Here was Santi for three.
But he had to double clutch it. Here's Aldama shouldering in at O'Neal, gives for Clark, gets it back. Right wing three for Santi is good. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Grizzlies get their third triple of the night. Aldama gets his first. 23-15. And an 8-point Grizzly lead, their largest of the night. As Kennard finds a wide open Aldama, left sideline three is good. Ring it up. Put three more on the board for Santi Aldama. Yeah. They don't want to guard him. Go ahead.
Yeah, you got Kevin Durant and Bobo looking at each other like, who's guarding Santi?
He's a 7-foot Spanish guy. He's not hard to find. Inbounds comes to Kennard. Morant is back. As Kennard gives for Aldama, he'll launch another three. Hit another three. Ring it up. Put three on the board for Santi Aldama. He's got the last 11 for the Grizz. 31-22. Aldama, 11 in the game.
The bench would outscore Phoenix's bench 44-24 on the night. And G.G. Jackson got involved as well.
He feeds for Grayson Allen. Allen in the lane. Morant poked it away. It goes right to Jaren Jackson. 4-on-3 for the Grizzlies. Aldama to Kennard. Kennard, cross-court feed, G.G. Jackson. Left sideline, triple try. Ring it up. Put three on the board. The Grizzlies push the tempo and push the lead to 12, their largest of the night. Six threes now for the Grizzlies. A 16-7 run.
Also involved in the game, his defense would play a big part during the fourth quarter, but Vince Williams would also get involved in the scoring. He hit a three. Here it is.
Morant feeds to the right sideline. Jalen Wells is wide open. He had to reset his feet, though, and he couldn't come up with it. Plumlee has to save the rebound, and he saves it out to the top for Edie. Gives from Morant. Morant to the left corner, Vince Williams. Wide open three. Grizzlies catch a break, ring it up, put three on the board. Plumlee couldn't hold the rebound, and after he saved it into play, Morant picks up another assist. Vince Williams gets his first three.
As a play-by-play broadcaster, one of the worst feelings that you can have is you are talking about a player and talking about him in a positive fashion, and then immediately said player will either clank it, do something, you know, miss a free throw, the old free throw jinx, kicker jinx, you know it all. Brian Anderson, however, had what is feels like it's a very rare thing in play-by-play broadcasting. He was talking glowingly about Scottie Pippen, what he's offered off the bench, and immediately Scottie Pippen does this.
They work it back to the left sideline for Bane. Bane out to Aldama. Into the lane. Jumps it back to Pippen. Left sideline three for Scottie. Ring it up. Put three on the board. The Grizzlies continue to pour in bench scoring. Everybody in the second unit that's played has scored 24 of the 53 points coming off the bench. Grizzlies with their largest lead of 16.
Also, last night we had a Brandon Clark play that looked like Brandon Clark of old. Here it was.
Pippen to Clark. Two-handed jam. Brandon Clark soaring through the Phoenix Knight to the rim with a two-handed hammer.
And the Grizzlies are just overwhelming the Suns right now. They're swarming them. Their depth is dictating the terms of this game. And the Grizzlies are just rolling with it.
Scottie Pippen would hit another three. Here it was.
Right sideline, Pippen off a feed from Clark, fires another three and hits another three. And boy, look at the body language, Michael. Nick Richards just walking up the other way. Suns hanging their heads. The Grizzlies are up 19.
At one point when the game started, I saw DeMichael Cole of the Commercial Appeal tweeted out the starting lineup for the Phoenix Suns. And on the pregame show, Shaq was mentioning that this could perhaps be the bowl game. And the way that the game started out, you really did feel like it was going to be the bowl game because he came out, he hit a three quickly, he quickly made his presence known. But it also felt like to close out the first half, Zach Edey wanted to get involved in the program, and he did so like this.
Morant's open right corner ahead of the pack. Booker now closes out. Now Morant will put it on the floor with the left hand. Jumps in the lane, drops it off Edey. Edey pump fakes, bowl flies by. Edey dunks home his first bucket of the night.
And credit John Morant right there for making it absolutely easy. All Edey had to do was just catch and go straight up. He was right at the rim when he got the ball.
Then we would go to the second half, and Desmond Bane was fine in the first half. It was one of those ones where you didn't notice him playing bad, but you weren't noticing him in the emphatic fashion. Well, that certainly changed in the second half. He had 26, four of which came in the first half, 22 in the second half, and it started like this.
Grizzlies are 0 for 4 from 3 until that in the third quarter. Desmond Bane from 27 out, ring it up. Put 3 on the board, his first triple of the night. Grizzlies started 4 of 11 from 3. They've struggled a little since. They're 6 for their next 21.
Santi would continue his hot shooting from beyond the arc. Here it was.
Bane to the left side for Clark. Hands it back to Bane. Bane around a Clark screen. Leaves back to the foul line. Jumps it back to Aldama. Left wing three try. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Santi Aldama's 4-3 of the night.
Great night for Santi Aldama right there. 5-for-7 overall from the floor and 14 points.
Zach Edey would add another big finish.
Edey blocks his left-handed hook. Should be Edey's second block of the night. It is. They did credit him one for an earlier three try from Tyus Jones. Williams gets by Richards on a little step through, missed it. Edey follows it up with a two-handed jam.
Yeah, nice way. Right there. Edey was right there at the rim for the putback.
I don't know how everyone else views when you have national broadcasts, when you have the split. You could have the national broadcast. Some people enjoy hearing, okay, what are they going to say about the Grizzlies? I'm normally a guy that likes to hear my guys. I just always stick with the local broadcast if that's the option. I love Pete, Brevin, Rob. I'm a loyalty guy. Last night, we didn't have the option. I don't know if Pete would have said hammer, nail, coffin after this shot because Pete has, in his career, never prematurely called hammer, nail, coffin. And even though this only put him up 9 at the time, put him up 9 at the time, it felt to me like the dagger because it just sucked all the air out of the building as they were continuing to mount this comeback. It was a Desmond Bane 3. Here it was.
Bane has it, top of the arc. Around two screens to his right, launches a right wing three, got it, ring it up. Put three on the board. That was a simple play. Desmond Bane buries the three. Grizzlies 106-97.
Grizzlies win by a final of 119-112. Ja gives the Grizzlies, Ja gave the Grizzlies 26 while Dez gave them 20. I flipped that, He had 16 in the second half, but he had 20 total. Jaren also added 17. All in all, the starters gave the Grizzlies 75 points, while the bench outscored the Suns bench 44-24. Also, the Grizzlies really handled the glass pretty well last night, winning the rebounding margin 60-42, including grabbing 20 offensive rebounds while only allowing 7. That allowed the Grizzlies to lead the second chance scoring at 14-13. So, all in all, I thought Georgia was a fun game. At times, it maybe got unnecessarily stressful in the second half when you felt like, okay, the Grizzlies have really dominated and dictated the pace of this game. It's been to their liking. But then the fourth quarter, you see it get down to one possession, and you start to go, like, is this really going to happen? Because it felt like the Grizzlies were coming up empty on so many possessions. But really, I thought down the stretch, Ja was very good getting downhill when they needed to get kind of the quick get-back bucket. I thought Ja was there for him. Jaren was there for him. Dez was there for him. And then I thought the other big story of the night last night, yes, Durant goes for 34. Durant gets, I think he's now maybe at 3,008 points. Because I think he needed, I think he needed 26 to get to 30,000, and he gets 34. So by my math, that would be 8 more. So he's at 30,008. But really what I thought kind of was the big story of the night was Devin Booker was largely held in check.
He was pretty, you know, I hate using the word invisible.
Yeah.
Always.
But you didn't notice him a ton.
No, there were large stretches of the game where, you know, I'm looking on the court and I'm thinking, oh, Devin Booker's out there? Where's he been this entire time? I think one of the other big stories or one of the big most interesting things that I noticed in that, first off, the severe lack of people calling it the Bowl.
Yep.
I thought that was a free space? Exactly. That should be, you know, the one right in the middle where everyone gets that, but severe lack of that. The freestyle at halftime was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had UConn pretty big last night. So at halftime, I had the Grizzlies on TV one. Then when it went to halftime, I watched Liam McNeely single-handedly kill Dollar Beer Night.
Oh, and Creighton.
Yeah.
Tragedy.
He was
absolute tragedy.
Phenomenal.
Other things that I know, first off, you know, hate sour grapes here, but like for Jalen Wells to get into foul trouble with some of the things that he got dinged for, I thought was a little bit ridiculous. There were a couple times where he's just standing at the rim and they're calling him for fouls. Ja Morant's vision, I think, is one of the biggest assets and one of the biggest changes in his game that we're seeing. Every time that you see him going up either for a dunk or for a layup, watch his eyes and watch his head. He is almost never looking directly at the rim. Now, that could be a bad thing because he had a couple missed lays, but at the same time, the amount of dishes he's able to put out there in what we are looking at these crazy passes, he wouldn't be able to do otherwise if he's not looking around.
Yeah, so this is why. Because there's the theory out there that I've seen from smart fans that believe Ja has really struggled to adjusting to post All-Star game last year when they started to allow more contact in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a reasonable approach. I also think that I'm not dismissing it, but I'm also not convinced that it's 100% certainly what's happening because he's been in and out of the lineup.
Yeah,
he's injured. Last night was one of those nights where it felt like he was more involved in the flow of the offense, and it felt like he was conducting a lot better. Now, what I'm also willing to acknowledge is, okay, the Suns basically allowed the Grizzlies to play exactly how the Grizzlies wanted to play. They got to play with really good pace. It was very much to Ja's liking. The tempo was, he was in a comfort zone. So is it possible that last night looked that way because he was more comfortable? Very much so. But it's also one of those ones where it's like, I'm not dismissing it. I just think I need to see more one way or the other, because I do still think it's interesting, because Ja has been, I think, noticeably more frustrated with officiating and pleading his case than previously. But at the same time, I kind of felt like he got maybe a couple of calls late that were, I thought, borderline at best. The one where he only ends up making one of two free throws in the fourth quarter. But
yeah,
that was easily a call that I felt like they could have just let it go.
So one of the big things there that I have a personal gripe with, and this is just something that I look at, while on one hand, I can't stand how much griping a lot of these players do.
Yes, and it's an epidemic.
Barking at the officiating. However, when in that same game, you look at the type of calls both sides are getting at different points in the game, I get it. You have Ja going down, going to the cup, and then just getting laid out, and they don't call anything. And then on the other end of the court, you have Durant pulling up.
Fairness, I do think the Grizzlies knocked Booker to the floor pretty good one time, no call.
That is absolutely, well, that's what I'm saying. This is where I'm going with this, is that on one end that happens. On the other end, Durant just goes up for a mid-range. Someone so much as breathes on him sideways, and they call a foul. They're just looking for consistency. That's all the players are really looking for. And it's the same thing with the coaches. Why Coach Bud and Jenkins, I mean, we understand they're two of the more fiery coaches in the league. We see that night in and night out. But at certain times where they just go absolutely ballistic is they're just looking for their players to get the same calls or the same whistle as the players on the other team. Now, could it just be bad officiating? Sure.
Yeah, whenever I hear bad officiating, my first thought is always, do y'all not watch college basketball?
Oh, I'm not saying it's any better there.
I think the other aspect about this is the game's pretty hard to officiate.
Absolutely.
You could call something on every possession and make the games last 4 hours. And the other problem that I've always had is whenever an issue arises, they change a rule. And when you change a rule, you make the game harder to officiate, because now they're not looking at letter of the law. They're now looking at intent. And now you can go and look at video and say, well, this would have happened, but this happened, so we're going to call this. I just think it's a really, really difficult thing. And I just, more times than not, maybe it's the way that I was wired, the way that I was brought up. It's like, man, I just think in the end it kind of evens out one way or the other. And I just can think of very few games where I truly felt like the game was decided by officials.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the biggest thing as well with a game like basketball is just as hard as it is to officiate, you can look at so many different points in a game where there's a turning point. So whether that's based on the officiating or not, usually it's not. There are so many possessions that go both ways. My big thing is, like I said, they're just looking for consistency because they all see what we see.
Yeah, and I mean, the problem, though, is if you're in the building, it's one thing. And I know most of the times you're producing either the road broadcast or whatnot, so you're often in the building. That's one thing. What I'm skeptical of is when we get to see 48 angles with $15,000 cameras sped down to 1 millisecond. Like, I think about like this. This is a play that was largely nondescript. No one's going to gripe really one way or the other. But at the end of the half, when the ball was missed on the Suns' end, and I think it was Santi and maybe Royce O'Neal, but they were going for the ball, and it looks like they both touch it at the same time, knock it out of bounds with, I don't know, 10, 12 seconds left.
Yeah.
Initially, the official calls jump ball because you couldn't really determine who it was. I thought that was fair and reasonable. Now,
I thought nothing of that.
Budenholzer's bench said, hey, challenge it. It initially looks like, from the angle the guy had, it looks like it goes off both of them. But you could see from a back angle that was not TV copy, yes, it initially goes off both their hands, but then I don't know if it ricochets off Santi's, but it clearly, about a tenth of a second later, goes off Santi. Suns get the ball. They score right before the end of the half.
Yeah, that was that three that they hit where I remember, because the broadcast even says, man, that's a great challenge by Coach Bud. and this is what they get out of it. This is a bigger issue for me. I can't stand the NBA replay system.
Okay, so if you're talking in general terms, I'm honestly a net negative replay guy. I also can fundamentally acknowledge this. I'm in the minority. I'm never going to get my voice isn't going to be heard. So I don't view this as a cause or
sure.
something that I am an activist for
yeah.
of getting rid of replay. But I think in general, in most sports, replay has been net negative. If you're just talking about how long it takes, what they review, what not, I'm with you. The
yeah.
problem is I am watching simultaneously college basketball, and the final 2 minutes takes an hour and a half. And if you can't determine within, at least like I feel like with the NBA, they are streamlining the process. It's much more efficient. If you can't determine who the ball's off of in, honestly, I feel like 30 seconds, go with the call on the floor. But like that's the other thing that's aggravating. It's like if you're just watching college basketball, it's like they make a call just so they can go to the board, go to the video and replay. So
it's awful. It's so bad. I know exactly what you're getting at.
I actually
it takes
do think
forever.
I think the NBA has done a better job of. They had the same problem for a while too, where replay was taking too long. I think it used to be like every call basically under 2 minutes could be reviewed. I think that's what it is now in college. And it was taking entirely too long. They got rid of that. And they basically said, all right, here's the things that we're going to review. And then you have your coach's challenge. I'm kind of the opinion now we have replay. Just make it part of the game. Give coaches challenges, and it's a strategy element. Everything is reviewable. I don't care in football if it's pass interference, whatnot. If you think they missed a face mask, you can challenge. But it's literally, that's all we're challenging. Scoring play, forget it. Like, it's all a strategy element. If you think that, and you get three a half like we do with timeouts.
I like that. I can get behind that. I also kind of enjoy the way that the NHL does it, where if you lose your challenge, it's not your timeout. You get actively penalized for it. You get a delay a game penalty if you miss, like if you use your challenge and you don't win it.
Yeah, I guess though, because in my system, I want everything to be reviewable.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to sit there and go, all right, you get a 5-yard penalty if you miss your challenge. My deal is, but you could also have this. All right, in the fourth quarter, am I saving a challenge? Like, I want it to be
yeah,
a strategy
it's an actual,
part of
like,
a strategy.
It's a chess piece.
And it's not like you get bonus ones. It's timeouts.
Yeah.
Same thing. You get three a half.
Period. That's it.
And you can keep them in your pocket if you want. But
you use them or lose
it's
them.
It's part of it.
Like I like that.
That's kind of how I am, because that way I think that streamlines everything. But I'm also a little woke on it in football in particular, because I think that's extra commercial breaks.
Ooh.
I think there's a business side of that. Okay, you tell me if this makes me, I am small in stature, but tell me if this makes me small in spirit. I absolutely loved the fact that Kevin Durant has his 30,000 point game in a loss to the Grizzlies. Because think about it now. He's going to have all this memorabilia of what is truly a remarkable accomplishment. What is it we've now? I think it's 8 players?
Yes, he's the 8th.
He's the 8th player to get 30,000 points. There was a nice moment on the post game with Shaq and Vince Carter. It's like, thinking about how long those two guys played, Shaq was about, I think, 1,500 points short. And Vince Carter, like, wasn't even, like, he was like, I want to say, like, they said, what, 17 or 18,000 points, something like that. The fact that like he was that far away really puts it in respect. Those guys played forever.
Yeah.
And like that shows just truly how an unbelievable scorer Durant is. But now every piece of memorabilia he's going to have from this game either has to have the final score or he's going to omit the final score because we all know what happened. And yeah, in terms of like biggest Grizz rivalries of my lifetime, it's not in like the top 3 or 4. But it's up there. There are a lot of pretty big series with the Thunder. Like, I do just enjoy the fact that he'll look at every, whether it's the game ball, whatever, it's like, he's going to know.
Oh, he has to.
He's going to know.
That last image with the, you know, the timer,
mm-hmm.
the game clock ticking down, Jaw just one-handed palming him the ball. Just that in itself, I'm like, okay, I understand for him, he thinks, oh, I'm just, you know, giving him the ball. I'm, you know, because he said it in the postgame. Jaw was like, you know, he's one of the best, you know, that has ever played, you know, huge respect for him, all that. I just want to make sure he got the game ball. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, come on, man.
That's got to tell your story.
Exactly.
That was definitely from Ja. That was definitely a tell your story.
Oh, yeah.
I think the other thing, though, is when we start discussing, like, okay, who are the teams that concern you potentially in the playoffs? That ain't one of them for me.
No.
Like, and this is where I believe it was Windhorst that said, and Windhorst wasn't offering his opinion. He said this is the opinion of teams that are beneath the Grizzlies in the West, the older star-driven teams. They don't fear the top. And it's like, there was a nice little anecdote from Stan Van Gundy during the second quarter where Durant, during a free throw, is like hanging out kind of at the scorer's table. And he says, there's a woman sitting behind the bench, and she goes, come on, KD. And he just turned right around to her and said, what do you want me to do? And like, that was kind of like that's like a nice little microcosm of where the Suns are. Like, KD got his points. Like, and it's true. He was not the reason they were losing.
No, he scored well, efficiently, defended.
Yeah,
had a couple
was long.
Really
he gave Jaren a couple
plays.
Of tough, definitely gave Jaren a tough time at times.
Had some steals, some blocks. He was all over the court. I mean, every time he was on the court, he was the most noticeable player on the court. And I understand he's been that way, you know, the majority of his career. But he was not the problem with that team last night.
He most certainly was not. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, John Martin's going to join the program. Let's get his thoughts on everything happening in college basketball, Grizzlies, and the Tigers. We'll do all that next right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM. Yes.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
ESPN. John Martin is the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 until 2. You can also see him talking about college basketball on the Field of 68. Subscribe to their YouTube channel. Go see him on all social platforms there. John, last night ended up, I felt like, being a pretty good night of college hoops. Obviously, we had some big-time matchups. But I was thinking about this as I saw you kind of getting into it on Twitter. Correct me if I'm wrong. One possession game is 3 points or fewer, correct?
In basketball, they've changed the rules. You know, but in basketball, you know, he may still be in Tennessee football playoff mode. I don't know.
Okay.
Where one possession, 7 points.
I will say this, though. Here's one thing that's confusing me this year. How I feel like just teams are taking losses. And so, like, I feel like I'm having to recalibrate my brain in real time because I don't think we have clearly a Death Star team this year. Do you? It might be Auburn, but Auburn at times has shown, like, okay, you know, you can get them. I mean, Duke and Florida have gotten them. Two top five teams have gotten them, but you can get them.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, every college basketball team is going to have flaws, right, somewhere. But I think there are probably three, and I might even add a fourth that nobody will believe, but, like, we'll see. Like, you guys probably will see. I think, like, the four that rise above for me are Auburn, Bama, Duke, and Iowa State. You know, Iowa State lost Momcilovic, the shooter, for a couple of weeks there in January. And obviously, like, it did impact them in a real way because they're not, you know, a singularly great offensive team. They don't have, abundance of shooting. But he's back now, and they're rolling again. And, you know, they were a tip in away from beating Auburn and Maui. So I would say there are four teams that rise above the rest. I would say there's oh my God, unbeatable, you know, because, you know, with Auburn even, it's like when they get out of the jungle, you know, they're clearly, I mean, they're gettable even in the jungle. In Florida, I guess I would have to add Florida in there as well because what they're doing is just quite frankly ridiculous right now. So five teams, I would say, right now.
What was the status of the big that looked like he –
Yeah, his X-rays were negative. So
okay, so all right,
so he'll be back. And I mean, look, Mississippi State was a fraudulent team anyway. They peaked in December, you know, basically when they beat Memphis. They have been absolutely faltering ever since. But what they did last night without Elijah Martin, without their big, they lost, you know, a minute into the game. That was as impressive as it gets because everybody had that one as a loss for the Florida Gators in the gambling community.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing. Like that was one of those lines that stunk. Like from the very beginning. The other team, though, that I would like to pick your brain on. Did we write Houston off a little too early?
Yeah, so Houston, man, you know, I would love to have them in that five. I mean, I think they're right there on the cusp of it. And the only pause that I ever have about Houston, it's never about anything that, like, it's never anything about schematics. It's never anything about talent, personnel. It's just always about their ability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, and I've made this point before, but it's, you know, it reminds me a little bit of, like, the Thibodeau Knicks and the Thibodeau Bulls. Like Kelvin Sampson runs those dudes into the ground in the regular season. And it's great for them because they win the Big 12 like they did a year ago. They're going to probably win the Big 12 again. And it's fantastic. But, like, you know, Sharp's out, you know, or has been out. You know, Cryer's got a knuckle issue. You know, Javier Francis got a concussion. We saw in the game against Duke last year, you know, and it was a freak accident, but Shed goes down,
yeah.
You know. So, to me, it's just like, can they survive from a body's perspective to the finish line? Because if they do, yeah, man, I mean, nobody's going to want to see those bigs. I mean, and as tough as Juwan Roberts is, and now he's got a push shot. And also, like, people will probably not realize this. Houston's one of the best three-point shooting teams in America.
Yeah, they're sixth in KenPom in offense this year?
Yeah, yeah, and that's, like, not typically a Houston staple, right?
Yeah,
but they've got both sides of the ball taken care of, and to me, it's just a matter of can they stay healthy. I mean, Kelvin's done a great job. I mean, you lose Shed, and you come back and you take a shot on Milos Yuzan from I think Utah or something like that, who was not, you know, who was not necessarily like a consensus. Oh, this is going to be a great transition. People were very, you know, skeptical about it.
OU, by the way.
Say again?
OU.
OU, Oklahoma. Right, got it. My bad.
Yeah,
Oklahoma.
It's UU, OU, same thing, whatever.
Yeah, and people were very skeptical about that transition. But he's come in. He's fit in the system great. And that team is just kind of picking up where it left off last year.
Do you think differently about UConn with Liam McNeely?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. You saw it last night. You saw a glimpse of it against St. John's in the first half. He was kind of getting his legs back underneath him. And look, St. John's, bro, they're going to do that to a lot of teams. UConn's not going to be unique. So I think that win said a lot more about St. John's than it did UConn. Yeah, I think UConn, I'm not saying they're a title contender. I'm not saying that they're, like, about to make this big run to the, you know, Final Four. But their arrow is pointing way up. You know, people are going to be down on them because they don't have the talent that they've had 2 years ago. But you go into Creighton and you win like that. I mean, that's the first time.
It was dollar beer night, John.
I know, right? It was $1 beer night. UConn lost $2 beer night at Gamble. So they got their lick back on the beer night. And they took it out on Creighton. But, yeah, UConn is definitely a team, just from a game-to-game perspective, that I'll be looking to bet for the next 6 weeks.
What did it say last night? Listen, it's well known. I love Andy Kennedy. I covered him for 6 years, and I love the man. But he is good for one of those games last night. I don't know who was paying attention to the American. Did you see the absolute egg they laid in the second half at ECU?
Yeah, they were up 12 at one point.
Yeah.
Led by five and a half, up 12 in the second half. And just kind of choke it away to an ECU team that is just, I mean, the definition of mediocre, that they needed a miracle to beat UTSA, you know, on Saturday. I mean, UAB, and you're right, nobody cares because it's the American, but UAB has quietly been one of the biggest disappointments in college basketball this year. Again, they were picked to win the league. They're going to probably finish third or fourth. It's especially difficult because, I mean, for a place like that to return Lindenborg, to return Buddy Johnson, to return basically all of their relevant pieces from a year ago on a team that went to the tournament, and to be sitting where they're sitting and completely out of the mix right now, I don't know what went wrong, you know. I mean, FAU went to the Final Four, came back with everybody the next year, and made the tournament but didn't win the conference and was, you would definitely say, a disappointment relative to what we expected. But the same thing is happening to UAB. And again, I don't know if it's a chemistry thing. I don't know if it, you know, I have no idea, but I would definitely say, if we're talking about disappointments, I mean, look, you got Indiana, you got North Carolina, you got a bunch of schools in front of UAB, but the Blazers are on the list for me.
Well, the reason I bring them up now is because this is something that Munns and I have talked about, and I haven't discussed it with you. But now Memphis is in this spot that they actually haven't been in under Penny Hardaway, which is their actual on-court resume is really good. And their metrics in terms of just who they beat, where they beat them, like that is of a high seed. Then when you start to get into the analytic, you know, the analytic metrics, it's not as eye-popping.
Right.
I'm almost wondering, though, if that doesn't matter. Like, I think as long as they win the league, and now that gives them a two-game lead in the loss column, and I believe they don't play North Texas again, correct? They only played them once and at home.
Yep.
So that means North Texas has to finish ahead of them. Like, I kind of just think Memphis is in a pretty good spot where it's not even like you have to play perfect basketball down the stretch. It just feels to me like don't go back-to-back weeks with multiple losses.
By the way, tough break for North Texas not to get that game at home, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty bad from a league standpoint. Like, to not have Memphis and North Texas play twice, like, you had to believe that North Texas would be in the mix, right, for a conference championship. And for have to play them once in Memphis, that's a lucky break for the Tigers. Like, it is. And they took advantage of it, you know, and that's part of it, right? That's part of the deal. But if I'm a North Texas fan, I'm a little salty about it. I'm extremely salty about that. Really doesn't make much sense that the top teams in this league aren't playing each other twice a year. I digress. Yes. As long as Memphis doesn't lose, you know, it won't matter. But, you know, if they start, you know, I don't know off the top of my head how many games they have left. You know,
so they have seven regular season games in the tournament.
All right. So they got seven. So if they lose two of those seven, they go 5-2, which, you know, I mean, you have to say Tyrese Hunter misses time. Like, you got to go to Wichita. You got to go to UAB. You know, I mean, there's some weird games in there. South Florida even kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies. Every game should give you the heebie-jeebies in the league, especially on the road. Yeah, like if you lose two, I think you are going to get dinged significantly. You know, I mean, even though you have a record, you know, the reality is, and I was talking to Parth about this yesterday on our podcast, 5 quad one wins in December is fantastic, right?
Yep. It's
great. 5 quad one wins in March, that don't really move me. Everybody's got 5 quad one wins in March. Everybody's playing, you know, they might have 10. They might have 8, 9, 10. So that's the problem, right? The problem is the season doesn't end in December for Memphis when the resume looks like it looks. You have to play, you know, 15, 18 more games. And the reality for Memphis is they don't get to add to that. And Auburn gets to add to that. And Tennessee gets to add to that. And Kentucky gets to add to that. And Florida gets to add to that. And so by the end of it, your resume just shrinks in comparison to everybody else's just by virtue of they have the at-bats and you don't.
No, there's no question on that. I do think the thing that helps them more this year than honestly in years past is where they're going to really have the committee kind of be undeniable to committee is the fact that look at how many teams that they've beaten that are going to be in the tournament. Like, that's always one of the questions, like how many tournament teams have you beaten? And they're gonna have that pretty stockpiled.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Listen, you got Michigan State, you got UConn, you got Clemson, you got a nice win even against San Francisco.
Missouri. I mean, that win just has aged unbelievably.
Ole Miss, you know. So yeah, I mean, you've maximized it. I mean, honestly, the only thing they could have done is not lose to Mississippi State, but that was like Mississippi State's clearly. That was their game of the season. They haven't looked good since that game, basically. I mean.
Honestly, you know what? I'll even give them the state loss because I thought they were going to split those two just from my emotion.
Exactly.
The Arkansas State game.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't lose to Arkansas State, I mean, we're probably talking about Memphis as a three right now.
Yeah.
You know, and that's unfortunate. Arkansas State turned out to be pretty good. I mean, relative. But, yes. Outside of that, you know, Memphis has maximized their entire, you know, conference situation and schedule. And so now you just kind of have to hope like there's a little bit of cannibalism in the Big 12 and the SEC, right? That like there's not just necessarily like this one, like Arizona losing last night to Kansas State. That's good for you. Right?
Did you see the shooting numbers?
For who?
So I think both teams, I need to pull this up. It was one of those games where I was like, man, am I glad that was not a game on my radar, because that it like set back. All right, here we go. This is from Jared Benson on X. Kansas State went 1-for-19, 5.3% from three, and beat Arizona. It's the lowest three-point percentage by any team in a win over a ranked opponent in 9 years. Arizona shot 2-of-22 from three. That's 9.1%. It's the first D1 game since 2022 in which both teams shot under 10% from the three-point line. It's not just D1 game. It's entirely possible those are two tournament teams.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas State's been the number one team in America since January 20th.
Yes.
I mean, people don't realize that. And Arizona's been as high as anybody. I mean, that's college basketball, man. I mean, you watch that Tennessee team put up jump shots, it's a horrific watch. I mean, it really is. Like, I got caught up when they won at Illinois, which that win even doesn't look as good as it did at the time. I shooting is important. It's important to make shots and see them go in. And, you know, I think Arizona will have better nights, obviously, from three. You know what you're gonna live that Caleb Love experience.
Caleb's just got to hit a 60-footer at some point.
That's right.
Unlock him.
You got to see one go in.
Yeah.
Man, you know, from 60.
Some guys got to get to the free throw line. Love's just got to hit it from 60.
That's right. But Tennessee, on the other hand, like I got extreme concerns about them, because you know, if Chaz Lanier is not having a good day, and that's been hit or miss in the SEC, they're cooked offensively. They have nothing. They have nothing. And their defense fails them, right? That's what kind of it's a related thing, you know, in basketball. But, you know, their defense, when they're not making shots, shrivels up pretty good. And, I mean, granted, I mean, Kentucky made some ridiculous shots. Like, Kobe Brea is just on fire in Lexington. Like, the dude looks like Steph Curry in that building. But, you know, that's what happens to Tennessee. You know, their defense is not enough to overcompensate for their completely inept offensive ability. So I think Tennessee could be a second round exit.
Yeah. The other thing though is my gambling syndicate. We were discussing. We've sworn off betting Kentucky games, and this was before we didn't bet them last night, because it does feel exactly what you're talking about. It's just so predicated on how they come out shooting the ball. Like, they're not a great defensive team, so if they don't shoot the ball well, like, they can get run out of the building like they did in Oxford. And I know Butler comes back last night, but he exits the game with an injury. It's like, okay, if he's in the lineup, that makes me think differently. I've just decided, like, they're like a no-touch team for me.
Yeah, I mean, especially without Butler. I mean, Butler, they were totally different without him. I mean, that's kind of when Tennessee was able to actually have some success. Tennessee is a no-touch team for me. I mean, because, you know, the problem with Tennessee is you're going to be laying with them almost exclusively every single game. And some of those games, you might be laying a lot, you know. I don't think I've gotten one right betting on them.
Oklahoma. But that was more of a – that's more of a – I have a principle. I think Oklahoma's, like, frauds with a capital
you got,
F.
You got another opportunity tonight.
Yeah, that's – oh, this is what I want to wrap up with you on this one. Munz asked me this question, and I'll ask you. What is the Tigers' best win this season?
I would say at Clemson.
Okay, so that's his opinion too. I don't know how well it's going to age. I can't get out of my mind, like, when they took on UConn, UConn was at full strength, and it's in Maui, and they're the big bad dog, and there was still an edge to them. I really also really like the Michigan State win because of the fact that you played UConn the game before. It's an emotional game. It goes to overtime. The pace was frenetic. And then you have to turn around and play a completely different style of game against Michigan State. And they largely controlled that game. Like, I just really – and when we see that Michigan State's good, like, I really like the Michigan State win.
That's a fair call out, because it's not easy to do that. It's not easy to get over that, you know, I mean, with how big that win was for the program. You know, I mean, UConn at the time was what, number two in the country?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to factor that in. From a market perspective, UConn was their best win. I think they like closed like 8-point underdogs or something like that.
I think it was like 9 or 10.
It came in, you know, maybe it went back out. I don't know, but yeah, from a market perspective, definitely UConn. And then they were like 5-point dogs, 6-point dogs against Clemson. And then I think they were like basically plus 1.5 against Michigan State.
Yeah.
But I mean, honestly, yeah, like you can't. The only reason why I would say Clemson is because it was a true road environment.
Yeah.
Duke couldn't even do it, right? Duke couldn't even win at Clemson. Kentucky couldn't win at Clemson. Memphis won at Clemson. So, but also sort of Georgia Tech.
Tell our story. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, look, all three of those wins are going to be the reason why Memphis is not in the 8-9 game, so long as they keep tracking where they are.
John, we really appreciate it, buddy.
My man, appreciate it. Yep.
That is John Martin of the Jason and John Show. Also check him out on Field of 68. When we come back, let's turn our attention to the Grizzlies. Chris Harrington joins the program next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.